The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
I'd like you to turn in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 55. Before I preach this morning, I want to release a prophetic word that the Lord actually dropped into my spirit Thursday while I was here for prayer. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but sometimes the Lord can drop in a couple of seconds an impression that you know will take you a few minutes to verbalize, but you already know it's in you, so it will come out. And he reminded me of this scripture, and in keeping with the video announcements, it has to do with snow. Actually, I'm serious. It's amazing how God works. Someone at prayer toward the end just mentioned all the snow, and the Lord instantly dropped a word in my spirit about all the snow. So God thinks it's funny. I don't. Yeah, he doesn't have to shovel it. He just melts it. Not till he's ready. A very familiar portion of scripture to most of us, and again, this is not our text for this morning, but I am going to preach and prophesy out of it for a minute because it'll set us up. For my thoughts are, 55, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, and it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy, and you shall be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you, into singing before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. There is a prophetic word that this house is pregnant with and has been declared, and I've been declaring it, and I'm going to continue to declare it. And I first declared it on November 4th. And that picture was prophetically painted at the same time as I preached, and the person who painted it did not know what I was going to preach, but she had gotten the same message. And that is, and the prophetic declaration is, the bridegroom is coming to visit his bride. And that is still a relevant word. I talked to somebody, I can say it. I talked to my mom this week. And she reminded me of that word and says it's happening up here. And she was telling me of some things and some stuff. So hi, Mom. Hi, Christy. My mom and my sister listened to me. Can you imagine that? That is precious to me. And it's happening elsewhere. But here's the thing. It's not happening everywhere. All too often, there is the release of a prophetic word, and then we move on. Because we think that all prophetic words are like rain, and it instantly waters and instantly begins to produce fruit. And if it doesn't, it must not have been the word of the Lord. But the word of the Lord to this morning is that there is prophetic words that are not rain, they're snow. And there are lots of snow. And they are going to bring forth the fruit that they said they would bring forth, but they'll do it in a season of a different time, and they'll do it gradually. And as surely as this snow guarantees us, it don't take a prophet to tell you, it's going to be a wet spring. I'm just telling you. I guarantee it. Why? Because there's snow on the ground. And I want us to understand that this word that we declared on November 4th and again on December 2nd is coming to pass.
Amen.
And he is going to visit his bridegroom. He's already doing it, and we're hearing rumblings of it here and there. We're experiencing it in our own life. But I want you to know the bridegroom is coming for the bride. Make no mistake about it. And as surely as the snow will melt and produce fruit, this word will produce and is producing fruit. There's going to be a continual escalation of the presence of God in our gatherings. But more than that, and you remember the original word was, it isn't about this house and it isn't about this place, it's about your house. It's about him visiting you in your secret place. It's about him visiting you in your workplace. It's about him visiting you in your car or wherever. And the good news of it all is he's the initiator of it, not you. Amen. You did not choose him, he chose you. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
Because if he's doing the choosing and if he's doing the initiating, it actually might get done. I don't know about you, but how many times have we started out a year with whatever you want to call them, New Year's declarations, or what do they call them? New Year's resolutions, or whatever, and it works for a while. Well, he made a New Year's resolution, and he'll keep it. He's coming to visit his bride, and he's coming to visit you. And we need to know that. And one of the reasons he's coming is because we don't know what he's like. He's coming. The bridegroom is coming to convince the bride of what he's like. There is Pastor Dave said it well a couple weeks ago, that there's a big difference between a knowledge of something and a revelation of something. And the truth is that when we receive a revelation of something, it eventually becomes knowledge. And then guess what? We need a new revelation, or we're just functioning on fumes. You and I should go from glory to glory, from grace to grace, from faith to faith, and constantly be going and moving forward on a new, fresh revelation of what he's like and who he is. That's called growth. In the Bible, the word backslidden does not mean that you go backwards. It means you just stand still. In fact, the real picture, and I'm a farm boy, so it's vivid in my mind. The real picture of the word backslidden is a cow sitting back on its haunches with its bottom on the ground and its front dug in. That's very vivid in my mind because I've seen it. And they're hard to move. However, a tractor will move them. I'm just saying. Gently, of course. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But we need to know what he's like. And there's got to be within us, we sang about it, there's got to be within us a passion and a desire to know him deeper and to know him more. The Apostle Paul burned with it in Philippians chapter 3 and said, oh, that I might know him. This man of God who wrote a good share of the New Testament and planted churches and did all kinds of stuff. And yet he's writing and he's saying, oh, I want to know him. In the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his suffering. Not that I've yet apprehended that for which I've been apprehended for. What were you apprehended for, Paul? Oh, that I might know him.
Come on.
And there's got to be within you and I a desire to know him.
Yeah.
And the good news this morning to you is he's going to make himself known. We did not choose him. He chose us, and he's going to choose us again and again and again until we feel so chosen. Until we recognize how serious he is for us, how much he loves us. Last month, our theme was how good he is. God is good. This month, I'm kicking off a new theme. If I get to it in a minute, God is joyful. We need to know how happy our God is.
Yeah,
he is a happy camper. Well, he is too. And guess where he camps? In you. There's got to be a desire in our relationship. You know, over the years, Marcy and I were married almost 40 years. And over the years, I can count at least 8 marriage enrichment retreats we went on, or classes we took. 2 of them we took from my daughter and son-in-law. 2 12-week courses. Why? Because we had such a horrible marriage and it was such a mess. No. We had a really good marriage. And we worked hard at keeping it that way. And so we took, one of the first ones we took, those of you who have been around the house here for a while, Burl and Mary Bardell taught it when we were just kids. When we first moved to Elk River. And over the years, we always took the opportunity. Jim and Hillary, they're probably not in the room. They taught one that we took years ago. Why? Because there's got to be more than this. It's true in relationships, in marriage, and it's true in our relationship with him. It's true with the bride, with the bridegroom. Do you know it's okay to say to God, there's got to be more than this? He delights in that because he's got a secret. There is more than this. Glad you ask. And he delivers. There's always more. And we can always grow in our relationship with him and in our, and here's, we hear this declaration of mine that I'm making this morning through years of religion, and we say, yeah, I know, I got to do more. No. Rest. Just rest. He's going to visit you. He's going to initiate. Just be open to it. Just be open. Even this morning when we were singing and the declaration was, you know, what were we singing again? Fill me up. Yeah. We immediately, we want to get into a religious mode and it's like, okay, what do I got to do? I got to get filled. You know, my car doesn't do that. It just is there. And so often we want to perform to receive what he's freely giving. Talked about it last month about goodness. Goodness surely will follow you. It'll hunt you down. His goodness and mercy will follow you. And sometimes we just don't get it because we're working too hard to get what we've already got if we'll slow down. And so I want to encourage us. We sang it and it's true. There must be more than this, and there is, and the bridegroom is coming. And he's bringing it with us. I'm going to ask of Brian and Josiah will come up. It's my grandson and son-in-law. You remember last month when I preached, I accidentally sang a Bee Gees song. You don't know what he's like. And that line actually came out of a message that Renee preached, that we, when we go to unbelievers, we're not there to convict them or convince them of their sin. We're there to say to them, you don't know what he's like. But my word to us this morning is we, the church, don't know what he's like. We're going to get to see him in new ways. As we preach the message on his goodness, we are seeing that he's way gooder than we thought he was. I like what Renee said. His goodness is sometimes unpredictable. It's like You can't do that, God. You broke a rule. Yeah, that's funny. You can't be that good, God. But he can. And he can be that joyful, and he can be that loving, and he can be that patient, and he can be that kind, because that's who he is. So I asked Brian if he would change the words of that whole song. It's a Bee Gees song. I think the real name is Love Somebody.
It is.
You can't do that in church. Oh, yes, we can.
There's a light, a holy kind of light, that always shines on you. He wants to shine on you, always loving you, loving you. He has a way, preachers like to say, to help you in every single thing. But what does it bring if you don't know and let your love show? You don't know what he's like. You don't know what he's like. To love somebody, to love somebody the way he loves you. In our mind, it's hard to know he's kind, and our hearts can be unsure. But God has the cure. Perhaps we're blind, always looking behind. But what does that do if we don't see the truth? We need to realize, using our heart's eyes, I need to know, but I still don't know. You don't know what he's like. You don't know what he's like. To love somebody, to love somebody the way he loves you. You don't know what he's like. You don't know what he's like. To love somebody, to love somebody the way he loves you. To love somebody the way he loves you.
I love it. I believe that part of what makes heaven heaven is discovering every day, except there are no days because we're in eternity and there is no sooner moon or sun to mark the days, but discovering every whatever it is, what he's like. I believe that we'll come around the corner in heaven and discover another facet of God for eternity. I believe that's part of what will make heaven heaven. Because he is, and we'll be, get this, I believe, we'll be in God. Anyway, I'm just saying. We don't know what he's like. And one of the ways in which, and now I am preaching, and one of the ways, if you'll turn with me to the Gospel of John in chapter 15, one of the things that we do not realize about God is how joyful he is, I believe. It says concerning Jesus that he was anointed with joy above all his brothers. John chapter 15, again, a very familiar piece of scripture, and I'm just going to read it. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them in the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. We do not realize how joyful God is. Got a question for you. The exhortation of the scripture that we just read was very clear, that you and I as the branch are to abide in the vine. Question, where does the vine abide? In the Father. Where did Jesus, we just read it, where did Jesus get his love? From the Father. Where does Jesus get his joy? He said, my joy I'll give to you from the Father. There's a tremendous relationship between the Father and the Son. We know that. But we need to understand that everything that God is, or everything that, yeah, everything that God is, the Son is, because everything that the Son has, he got from the Father. What did Jesus say? He said, listen, these are not my words, they're my Father's words. These are not my works, these are my Father's works. And Jesus had joy to give away because he got it from the source. He got it from God the Father. And you and I need to know that there is an access that we have to the joy of the Lord through the vine. I want you to notice that he said, I am the true vine. The danger in your life and in mine is to latch on to other vines and look for joy. And there are other sources of joy. I had opportunity yesterday to spend some time with my grandkids, and I had fun. And two of them I hadn't seen for a while. And so I had a lot of fun, even just seeing them. And that's okay, that's good. But there is a true vine that you and I must always, always, always look to for our primary source of joy. When Marcy passed away 5 months ago, I had to make sure that she wasn't my only source of joy. And you and I need to know that there is a source of joy that is inexhaustible, and that we need to stay connected to continue to draw from. And it is a source, the true vine does not disappoint, does not let you down, does not whatever. Now, thank God for the ability that we have to draw joy from all kinds of sources. But I've found this. It's easier to draw joy from sources around you when you're drawing it from the source itself. when our daughter was little, littler than the little girl she's holding. Hi. She gave me a smile. When our daughter was little, Marcy and I came to the Lord. We didn't know. We named our daughter Renee. Didn't know that that name meant new beginnings or new beginning. And little did we know, within a few months, we had a new beginning. And we committed our life to Jesus because our marriage was a mess. And we didn't want to lose it and figured, let's give somebody, let's give Jesus a try. And it worked. But I remember, I distinctly remember, this just came to me. I distinctly remember as a new day, she was about a year. I distinctly remember after giving my life to Jesus, standing. Standing at the door to her bedroom, looking at her sleeping in her crib. And I had never known a joy like that before. Why? Because I had a new daughter? No. Mm-mm. No. I had a new Jesus. And I had a new vine. I had a new source of joy that allowed me to extract out of life all around me all kinds of joy in the simplest of things that I had overlooked prior to that time. And many of you know, as parents, know what I'm talking about. And we need to understand that life is full of joy, but you need to have your primary source be the true vine, and the true vine allows you to enjoy all kinds of things. Amen. And you do, and we can find joy. We can find joy in one another. I find joy in coming to church. Most Sundays. No, I do. I do. And so do you. And there's something about being in the house of God, and there's something about being with the people of God. But we need to realize that church is not our source. It is a fruit of the vine, and it is something that our connection with the vine allows us to enjoy. But we need to know that there is a source of joy that is beyond circumstances and beyond what's going on. Just letting it settle in, that reminds me. Dan? Can I share a word with you, the Lord? I'll be back for that. I'll be back for that. I don't know why that's here, but I'll be back for it. Are you married? Okay, just good friends. Okay, good, awesome. Dan, I just met you last week and then again outside the men's room a little bit ago. Can I just tell you what I heard for you? I actually heard it last week. And I heard the Lord say to you, this is a new season for you. And you, even as I was worshiping this morning, you are not going to have to wait for spring to come, for a new spring to come in your life. And there is I have not a clue what I'm talking about, but I want to encourage you. There is a shift that's taking place in your life, and God wants you to know that He is doing it, and He is initiating it, and He wants you to put on a seatbelt and get ready and enjoy the ride, because He's going to do it. You are you would have a tendency to tense up a bit and say, okay, what do I have to do? Put on your seatbelt. Enjoy the ride. Because He is initiating something on your behalf. And He is at work in a unique way. And He wants you to know that this season is coming, and in fact has already started and is here, and he wants you to enjoy it. Okay? Does that sound good to you?
Can you
say yes to that?
Yes.
Can I pray that for you?
Yeah.
Father, I just thank you for Dan. I thank you for the man of God he is. I thank you that he's more of a man of God than he realizes he is. And I thank you that you are going to show him how significant and how important he is to you and also to others. I thank you for the call that's on his life and the giftedness that is within him that you are going to draw out of him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, I do not know why this is here. Oh, that's the wood. You want to know what kind of wood? Oh, that might be ash.
Black ash.
Yeah, if I'd have saw a bigger piece. Oh, yeah, that's ash. Okay, this is like a divine setup. Here's the deal. I am the vine and you are the branches. Those of you who have ever split wood understand something. Ash, by the way, is one of the easiest woods to split. We burned it up north all the time because if you just let this, with a little moisture left in it, let it freeze, it'll pop like butter, kind of, if you know what you're doing and you got the right axe. And see what a nice straight grain it's got? It just... But when it comes time to split the place where the vine and the branch meet, not so easy. And those of you who have split wood know that. And the reason is because when you split it, and up north we just made a splitter out of a ram off of a garbage truck, a hydraulic ram, I mean. When you do get it split, and obviously the bigger the branch and the bigger the vine at that portion of the tree, even the harder and gnarly it gets. For those of you who know what a board is, I mean a board, and you know the knot, that knot is a place where the branch was and still is. And so you go to split this where the branch and the vine meet, and it is very, very hard to split because you find that there's an interconnectedness between the vine and the branch, and there's just fingers of grain that the branch has been digging into the vine and the vine has been digging into the branch, and it's very, very hard to split. And you can pull it apart and you can see in the branch is the vine and in the vine is the branch. They are one. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. Oh, I love that. Yes, it does. God made that.
You gotta love it, man.
God made that. Do you realize that? God made that. Yes.
You know,
just a minute. This is a woodworker here.
Woodworking is called crotch wood.
Yeah.
It's also some of the most beautiful wood you'll ever see.
I love it. Keep preach it, Luke. Keep going.
And the other most beautiful wood is called curly. And it's caused when a tree gets old and its weight settles on down upon it and it curls the grain. Both come from extreme stress, really, or interconnectedness.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Luke. That's a cabinet maker, guitar builder, woodworker extraordinaire right there. Just another lesson from God's creation of trees and wood. We need to know how significant and how important that our relationship with Jesus is. And he is coming to your house, to my house, to wherever, and he is meeting with us. And he wants to convince us of how awesome he is. We don't know what he's like, but we're going to get to know what he's like. But I've gone through, and so have you, we've gone through seasons of encounters with him. Some of us have gone through encounters, times and seasons of encountering God as the Father, and we've encountered the Father's love. Get ready for another one. Because when the bridegroom comes and visits his bride, it isn't long before he wants to take you home to meet Dad. I'm just saying. Come on. He introduces us to the Father. Some of us have had Holy Spirit encounters over the years, and it's like, oh, I got it now. No, you don't. You do, but you don't, because there's more. We sang it this morning. We are in a season where God is wanting us to understand that there is so much more. But I don't know that I've ever been in a season like this. Well, I know I have not ever been in a season like this where He is the initiator of it in such a way as He is in this time. And He will continue to be. Just cause. Because it's time. There's a silent revival going on, and it's going on in you. And eventually it's going to spill out, and in many cases it already is. He wants to visit the bride so that he and the bride can become an amazing team to bring a move of God across the globe, I believe. But it starts with you and I, and it starts with heaven invading earth here. And I don't mean in a hostile takeover invasion. I mean in a very loving, gentle encounter with Him. I realize that as I'm saying that, some of you might say, yeah, right. It's okay. Hide and watch. I have such confidence in this, not because I have confidence in anything except Him and in His desire and in His love to visit you and I, to draw near to us, so that we, like Paul, and see, it creates in us a hunger, oh, that I might know Him. We need a fresh revelation. And I realize in a group of people this size, we're all at different places in our walk and in our need and in our encounters for God. But the truth is that it really doesn't matter who we are or what we're going through. We need a fresh revelation of who He is. And maybe even more correctly put in the context of this morning, of what He's like. He gets such a bum rap. He gets blamed for so much stuff that isn't even His nature. And we are going to find out what He's like. I want to read to you this morning from Colossians chapter 3. And I'm sorry I did not give you this scripture. You don't need to put it up if it's a hassle in any way, because I can read. If then you, the Apostle Paul writing to the Colossians chapter 3 verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. And he goes on and talks about putting to death the deeds of the natural man. You and I must have a heavenly perspective. And any time that things are not going as you would like, I encourage you to purpose to focus on the inward man rather than the outward man, on the unseen things rather than the seen things, and on the eternal things rather than the temporal things. That's Paul's exhortation out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Whether we understand it or not, it is a secret to walking with God. We've got to learn how to see the unseen things. We've got to learn how to value. That's why this morning, when we spent some time after worship just letting God stir us up and fill us up, to the natural man and to the outward man, it's silliness. But if we'll allow our inward man to reach out and pull in, it isn't silliness at all. To the natural eye, it's like, what do you mean, fill up? But in the unseen realm, there was so much going on in this room this morning. And it's not about the temporal, it's about the eternal. There's got to be in your heart and in mine a cry for heaven. That doesn't mean that, you know, there's golf in heaven and we tee off tomorrow morning. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we need to realize that we have an amazing hope. And when in the seen realm things aren't going like I'd like, I've got a confidence in the unseen. When in the temporal realm things are not going like I would like, but I have a confidence in the eternal realm. When things aren't going so good for the outward man, you can have a pretty good confidence. There's some really good stuff happening on the inward man. That testing that Luke talked about of the wood. You know what causes branches to push so hard into the vine? The wind, the snow load, the fruit load. I marvel. I measured it. I marvel at that oak tree out there because it's got a branch that's cantilevered out, and I forget, I think it's 30 feet. And being a carpenter, I understand how hard it is to cantilever something like that without braces or guy wires or something. And yet it's out there. And having been someone who worked in the woods logging, I understand how heavy that branch is. And yet it's cantilevered out there 30 feet. Some of you are looking at me really funny. But I tell you what, it's a miracle. I mean, it's amazing. And it does it from a base of about, I measured that too, at where that branch that I'm talking about meets the vine, if I could say it that way, or the main trunk, it's only about that big around. And you can't do that structurally, even with iron and a weld. Not and expect it to support any weight like that does. I'm just saying, God's pretty awesome. So you go home today and someone says, what did they talk about at church today? Trees. Wood. Could we get a keyboardist? We just want to give a few minutes. And I know we did at the beginning of the service. But I always like to give opportunity for God to do what we just said He's going to do. He delights in drawing near to us. He delights in making Himself known to us. He wants us to know what he's like. He is always, always, always drawing near to us. And yet there is a scripture that says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Just let him minister to you. We have a tendency to be very aware that we get to pray to God and speak to him, but let him speak to you. We have an awareness of what it's like to worship him, but let him worship you. Let him love you. Let him tell you how awesome you are. We have an awareness of a desire within us to let us know, let him know how much we love him. But let him convince you of how much he loves you. Do need to understand it'll be initially a ministry to the inward man. However, very often the outward man senses it. Initially, it will always be an unseen encounter. But often, eventually, it becomes seen. Initially, it's always about the eternal, but it often impacts the temporal. Maybe you're here this morning and you've got a question for God. Ask him. Father, we thank you this morning for your word to us. We thank you for your person and for your presence. Lord, we ask you to forgive us for times when we measure our fruitfulness or our worthwhileness of time spent with you only by what we can see, only by what we can feel, only by what we can touch, smell. Father, continue to birth within us a confidence in the unseen so that we can truly see. Continue to birth within us a confidence in the inward man being nourished, whether the outward man knows it or not. Continue to convince us, Lord, of the reality of the eternal realm. Its realness being more real than that which is temporary. Help us see heaven, Lord. Help us recognize that when heaven meets earth in us, in the very core of our being, we thank you when the outward man knows it, but we refuse to take counsel from the outward man. We take counsel from the Spirit that lives within us and is one with you. As we go from this place, Lord, may we go with the confidence that you want to and will draw near to us. And that you will continue to convince us of what you're like. That you are a God that is good. You are a God that is joyful. And that you are the source of any joy that we feel. Help us to stay connected to the vine. And put our confidence in him. And we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sure.
Lord is showing me something. I'm going to try to articulate.
Is that mic hot?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to try to articulate what he's showing me. We've been in a season of filling. As we walk, we fill. One more step, fill up. Almost like having the food and being nourished. And you fill up and you take a step and you fill up and you take a step. And then it's as you naturally eat and you chew, things are being done in your body just by the fact of chewing. And then digestion comes and your body goes into the work of digestion. But what comes after that is the nourishment for all parts of your physical body. And it is blessed by your filling up and your walking. So in the natural, I'm just seeing the body taking in and having the strength. But in spiritually, as you're walking and you're filling up, and the rest will come later, and the parts that you needed to learn, or there will be benefits, because he doesn't let you walk through anything without good coming from it. So just like when you digested that food, your body was nourished. Our spirits are nourished when we walk through it, and there are benefits. And we won't always see the benefits till we get through it. And it's like, oh, now what I learned when I was walking and feeling, I see now. I have the benefit. I wouldn't have had it had I not walked. I don't know. I just was feeling that, and I didn't want to come up. But I was like, Lord, I don't want to go up. But I wouldn't leave, so I don't know. I hope it blesses somebody.
Don't ever discount the benefit of spiritual encounters with Him, whether you felt it or not.
Just got a word of knowledge for a woman here who's got liver problems, an imbalance in her blood, and it's twofold. And there's another woman here I'd like to have come up pray, because the Holy Spirit's been working on you and edging you on to go pray for people, and you feel that you just don't have it. And I'd like to have both of you women come up, one to pray for the one with the liver condition, because the Lord wants to move in your life. And you know it. It's been stirring on you all week.
Amen. Stay up here, or up there. I'm going to ask if the prayer teams will come up. Go ahead. You can go down there. And whoever that lady is that can witness with, or maybe more than one, but who witnesses with that word about the liver, just come on up. And the lady who knows you should be praying. And we're going to ask prayer teams to come up as well. The Lord bless you. We want to protect the atmosphere in the sanctuary, so if you visit, could you please take it out in the lobby? There's coffee available. The Lord bless you.